You're tuned in to Global Waters Radio, a podcast series produced by the Water Team at the U.S. Agency for International Development. The series offers listeners insights from USAID officials, development partners, thought leaders, and experts from across the water sector as they discuss current USAID water programming and cutting-edge research from around the world. This week on the podcast, a conversation with both Dr. Canisius Kanungire, Executive Secretary of the African Ministers Council on Water, and Richard Rapier, Chief of Party for the USAID-supported Water for Africa through Leadership and Institutional Support Program. Dr. Kanungire has served as Executive Secretary of the African Ministers Council on Water, better known by its acronym AMCOW, since September 2016. AMCOW is a specialized committee for water and sanitation for the African Union, and Dr. Kanungire has used his position to help align the efforts of more than 50 top water officials from across Africa in their push for improved water and sanitation. Our second guest today, Richard Rapier, has over 15 years' experience in the water, sanitation, and hygiene sector, as well as extensive experience with regional and national water institutions across Africa. Today, he leads the Water for Africa through Leadership and Institutional Support Program, better known by its acronym WALIS, which has recently collaborated closely with AMCOW to help create its continent-wide strategy for improving water and sanitation between now and 2030. So, Dr. Kanungire, tell our listeners some more about your role with AMCOW. For some of them, this may be the first time they've heard of the Council. So can you describe the relationship between AMCOW and the African Union?
My name's Canisius Kanungire. I'm the Executive Secretary of AMCOW, the African Ministers Council on Water. The relationship between AMCOW and African Union is that starting in 2008, the head of states, when they gave the mandate to AMCOW to provide political leadership, to provide policy directions, and also to carry out advocacy for sustainable development of water resources in Africa, they also instructed the African Union to consider AMCOW as a specialized technical committee on water and sanitation for the African Union. So we are advisors on those technical matters.
And in terms of knowledge sharing, why is it strategically important that AMCOW provides a forum for collaboration between Africa's water ministers?
For the whole continent, we need ministers to get together, to discuss, to agree on the ways they will conduct business in the water and sanitation sector. That will also enable the African Union to have an opportunity where some countries will learn from their peers. Because in Africa, like elsewhere in the world, there are countries who progresses more and better than others, so they can learn from one another. But also, Africa is a very particular type of environment where you have more than 60 transboundary waters. And when it comes to managing and developing those resources, you need the countries to come together and to agree on how to manage the resources and how to plan for the development and how they will share the benefits which will accrue from the development and transform or utilize that situation as a catalyst for more cooperation rather than more conflict around water resources. We think that by bringing ministers together, it will be easier to promote the learning processes and also adoption of new technologies, which are very important to borrow from other continents, mainly in the area of sanitation services.
So what would you say are some of the most pressing sanitation and water challenges that AMCOW is seeking to address with its new 2018 to 2030 strategy that WALIS helped support the creation of?
If we start with water, I would say one of the issues is that we are very vulnerable to drought and to floods. And that is because we have not invested much in water storage, in water development. And we think that is an issue that we need to put very high on the agenda. Second, Africa uses groundwater for domestic waters in all the countries. And sometimes we really overuse that resources. And yet, groundwater is not given much attention in terms of establishing mechanisms for good governance and good resource management planning and development. we have many cases where we have imbalance between abstraction and recharge, and also we have cases where we have pollution. Third is we have many transboundary waters. How do we strengthen the institution working on transboundary waters, river basin organizations, lake basin organizations, and ensure that we are not only using the water, but how do we also conserve the ecosystems which preserve those resources, which prevent high level of pollution, which prevent the drop of levels of lake and the drying up of some of the rivers. So I think all in all becomes to bringing climate change adaptation and some mitigation measures into the management of basins and all those watersheds. So these are the key main thing on water resources. On water supply, we have, again, many, many challenges. We have still many Africans who get water from open sources, which most of the cases are very dirty waters. And they lose time on going to fetch water, sometimes very far from their homes. So on sanitation, the situation is even worse because we still have many hundreds of millions practicing open defecation with all the consequences on the environment, on the health of people and livestock. We still have fecal matters which are not managed in an appropriate way. And then solid waste is still not very well managed.
Well, those are major challenges for Africa's water and sanitation sectors. Let's bring in Richard Rapier to talk about the work the Wallace Program has been doing in support of AMCAO, and then we'll talk a bit more about their collaboration on AMCAO's 2018 to 2030 strategy. Before we get to that, Rich, can you first introduce yourself to our listeners, describe Wallace's overall mission, and talk about Wallace's past work with AMCAO?
Well, my name is Richard Rapier, and I'm the chief of party of the USAID Wallace Program. And overall, essentially what Wallace does is it's a project to strengthen the leadership ability of African institutions. This is to deliver safely managed water services. And the way we do that is working through improving governance processes, improving evidence-based monitoring, and peer-to-peer learning. In the past, we've worked with AMCAO, at least during the Wallace Program. And there's also a history of USAID working with AMCAO for a long time. But in the recent past, our primary work has been around working together at conferences and also having members of AMCAO's technical staff weigh in and help design our improved evidence-based decision-making program. We had to select countries through that process, and their technical staff were able to participate in that selection process.
So let's talk about AMCAO's 2018 to 2030 strategy that Dr. Kanangiri has been discussing. Can you describe some of the ways Wallace supported the creation of that strategy? And in particular, what guidance did Wallace provide with regards to AMCAO's operational effectiveness?
Yeah, no problem. So Wallace had the opportunity to get involved with the strategic planning process at AMCAO almost immediately after we began discussing a broader relationship with AMCAO. And a team of ours joined them in the consultative process, and we helped facilitate that process as best we could. Essentially, a lot of these consultations were bringing in their technical advisory committee members, members from the African Development Bank and from other stakeholders, and going through a brainstorming process to lay out, well, what should be the strategic direction of AMCAO? What are the main priorities? What are the things that are cross-cutting in nature? And the area, of course, that Wallace is working with AMCAO the most is how do we improve the operational effectiveness of AMCAO so it can grow and fulfill its mandate with the African Union and, of course, its members, which are all 55 member countries within Africa. If you want to say our fingerprints on the strategy around operational effectiveness, the two areas we felt were a high priority for such a member-based organization, very much depended on to deliver knowledge products and convening and networking its members, is communications planning and improving how the organization reaches out to its members, understands what their members want, and then the project management end of things, to take essentially an idea and a concept and working across multi-stakeholder platforms and seeing that through to fruition. And then just to add that there's no other organization like AMCAL. It's completely unique across the entire world. There's no, you know, Latin American Ministers Council of Water or in Asia or anything like that. So in Africa, I really think that we have something special in AMCAL, and it deserves as much of the support and the partnership that we can provide.
So for both of you, how would you say the 2018 to 2030 strategy helps drive progress for improving the continent's water and sanitation sectors?
So with this strategy, we will have key activities which will bring countries to focus on allocating enough money, building their capacity at institutional level and individual level so that we can find solutions to that. In sanitation, we have deliberately decided to have one strategic pillar for sanitation, so that this time around we can have the leadership of African countries giving deserved attention to the sanitation issues and putting the right resources we need to really change the way sanitation services are provided on the continent.
And looking forward, can you both elaborate on some of the ways you believe AMCAL's new strategy will empower water-stressed African countries?
I think the strategy, by clearly showing the challenges we have and showing opening a window for collection of data for what is happening in Africa and gathering the knowledge on those, disseminating them to the appropriate levels and categories of stakeholders, I think it creates also opportunities for addressing water challenges in most stressed countries.
You know, AMCAL's role, they're very much of a convener, and they can bring those countries together to find mutual solutions that will work. They provide that space, and they push out the knowledge that can help ministers share with each other and find a solution that is able to best meet their needs. And AMCAL really provides that space and that networking to channel that knowledge through their members.
And how might the new strategy help shape the future of AMCAL in terms of technical capacity and financial sustainability?
Mm-hmm. Here we have a chicken and egg situation. What comes first? Is it that countries who created AMCAL should put in the resources and sustain its functionality? Or should AMCAL start showing results and its relevance to our countries so that they can be more motivated to adapt their contributions to the need of a growing institution like AMCAL? That is where we are. And for me, as a leader of AMCAL, my consideration and my emphasis is mainly to shape AMCAL and restructure the way it is today and the functions it has to carry out so that AMCAL can deliver the most useful pieces countries need. And once we have justified to the countries that we are useful, we are relevant, we are valuable, then we believe that countries will be generous and give higher contribution.
I really agree with that. Showing the members value what AMCAL does to that supports them, that helps them in their to address their own problems is the real value that AMCAL can provide. And then uniting them with other countries that have the same problems so that they can share with each other and uniting those who are stronger in one area with those who are weaker in a partnership. And in terms of financial sustainability, if we see the member states as shareholders of AMCAL, as if it was a company, they'll grow those shares. They'll want to increase their holdings with AMCAL when they see that value. And that is, as Dr. Kanagiri said, can be challenging because it is a chicken and an egg. And the growth that I see in AMCAL over the next 2 years is going to be carefully calibrated so that the value and the financial footing for AMCAL are going to have to work hand in hand together.
Still in line with that, at AMCA, of course, we need some resources to also work to generate those deliverables, which will convince our member state of the relevance of the institution. Currently, we are more working with different donors and development partners, seeing how they can put in some resources and use those resources not only to restructure the institution, but also continue the discussion with the member state on what should be the core activities and what should be the core financing they should take as responsibility of countries or member states, so that in a number of years, let's say 3 or 5 years, AMCA is at a very high percentage financed by member states. That is what we are developing in what we call a sustainability plan. To add to that, as I said earlier, head of state mandated AMCA to develop a monitoring system so that we can be reporting on the progress countries are making towards the highest commitment in water and sanitation Africa has taken. And we developed a system which is an online web-based system. It collects data from countries, we process them, we produce a report which is shared with other leaders. And that monitoring system, it is the first one of its kind in region, continental setup. We are serving the region and individual countries, but also we are working with the global level where we share our definition of indicators and monitor, I would say, together the progress Africa is making toward the SDGs.
Well, last but not least, given that you two have been working closely together, what would you say are some of the strengths of the relationship between AMCA and Wallace?
I'd just like to say I very much like the relationship that Wallace has with AMCAL. It's a very collaborative relationship, and it's made possible by the grants that we provide AMCAL that are accompanied by technical assistance. It's a bit of a unique approach in that, you know, you always have an accompanying side-by-side relationship between the technical experts, but also making sure that AMCAL is there and is capacitated to carry forward all the improvements and training that's taking place. And we know that it's just a start, that AMCAL's growth over the next 10 years, it's going to take all of that time, because if you're going to do something really well, you're going to go a little bit slower, but you're going to do it together. And I think that that's very valuable.
I would like to build on what Richard has said and emphasize on those aspects of partnership. I mean, we talked about challenges we have in Africa in the water and sanitation sector. There are so many. They call for collaboration, for synergies. And we have a lot to do to bring all the African member states and our partners to the same level of understanding and bring them to focus on the same key priorities. Otherwise, we will continue to have duplication. And so we needed a stronger AMCA to coordinate, to create synergies, to be trusted by member states, but also by our implementing partners across the continent and also our development partners outside. And this is where Wallace has been very important in contributing to analyzing the situation of AMCA currently, and also helping us to create a structure and to focus on the right functions where we need AMCA to be strong enough to be able to steer the effort of all the other organizations and coordinate the effort of all the partners towards the SDGs, but also the African agendas. So this partnership is very important. We wish it to be longer and bring more partners, and so that we can go as fast as we can, because the challenges, there are so many, and the changes on the African continent are also very much alarming. when we talk of sanitation and look at the growth of the populations in Africa and also the urbanization phenomenon with the growth of slums, we need really to be very fast and very strong. And the partnership is one of the key success for this.
Well, thanks so much, Dr. Kanungiri and Richard Rapier, for taking the time to speak with us. For more information on the African Ministers Council on Water, the USAID-supported Water for Africa through Leadership and Institutional Support Program, or other subjects discussed on this podcast, have a look at the links below. And as always, if you have a topic you'd like to see us cover in a future edition of the podcast, drop us a line at waterteam@usaid.gov. This is Global Waters Radio.